Alrighty, so quick introduction to myself. My name is Walter. I'm married to Gabrielle. Together we had five babies. We had five moments like that, that special moment with Ken. I love that. Five boys, and together we served in Papua New Guinea. I was called into the leadership of a Christian book publishing and distribution house. And 6 years I was privileged to lead that organization until the Lord called my replacement from the ends of the earth, or from Kenya. The Lord called a banker to leave her job and come and stand in the role that I had taken up, and she has finished up yesterday her term after 7 years. How good is that? And you see God's grace, God's goodness providing. And also what you see is God raising people from every tribe and nation to do his work. It was one of the biggest joys to walk the journey with Carol from Kenya, serving in Papua New Guinea, with Australian churches partnering in that support. I love it. And that season has come to an end, so we continue to pray for her. When we came back from Papua New Guinea, it was 2019. What happened 2020? You had that too here. Yeah, COVID came, and I went back into my old trade in the aluminium industry for 18 months until COVID came, and my branch didn't do too well that I was managing. 3 months we made losses. And then they gave me a friendly, warm handshake, please move on. Somebody else will take your place. And I didn't mind at all. I was actually overjoyed. And then we just took our time to pray, and the Lord opened the opportunity to step into AMT, into this role. Now you know all about me. Okay, that's enough. But it's better to know who you're talking with than to assume just because he's a director, he knows what he's talking about. Actually, most of the time I don't. But I trust that the Lord will use what he's entrusted me with. You know, I mentioned earlier to you the 300 adults and the 200 children dependents in the daily prayer guide. I'd love to see them as gospel touch points. All of them have got unique callings. We try to categorize their calling and you know, in broad categories, but then we ended up the categories got smaller and smaller and smaller, because every missionary journey is so unique. It's completely, like, you can't do a one-size-fits-all. I mean, you can call them all missionaries, that's great, but they're all, so many different callings and so many different giftings that the Lord is using them with. The lowest common denominator is that they are gospel touch point. No matter how the Lord has equipped them and called them, they're gospel touch points in their place. And that gospel touch point is the topic of my message this morning. And I hope that you will find your own role as a gospel touch point in your own mission field where the Lord has placed you. Because, as the going says, the more gospel touch points, the better. Right? Do we have an agreement there? Yeah, I'm not going to bring to you any new revelation. I'm just going to reiterate what the Word is teaching. All right, so whatever we're discussing today, I hope it builds you up. So here's a question, and I'll refer to Acts later, but more in passing. I'm not going to do an expository teaching session. How does salvation work? How do people become Christians? Did you ever ponder that? Because, you know, we would love to see people becoming to faith, but how does it actually work? How did it work for you? I'll give you a case study for Walter, okay? How many times did the gospel touch me before I trusted the Lord Jesus for my salvation? And my background's in business, so you will have to bear with me. I'm going to bring numbers. And although I pretended I didn't know maths, I kind of know maths. In my lifetime, I grew up in a Christian family. So my parents lived the gospel in such a tangible way that when I tried to reject the truth of it, it hurt so badly that I gave in. It hurt me to go against the goat, to kick against the love and the conviction and the reality of a transformed life that I saw in my own family. So when I finally committed my life to Christ, by that time I had attended about 1,500 church meetings. This is by age 15. 500 kids programs, about 150 youth programs, about 5,000 personal Bible readings, and hundreds of active Christians crisscrossing my path and demonstrating the love of Christ to me. You realize how thick my head, my skull was to finally recognize Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. But God was relentless and piled upon me thousands upon thousands of gospel touch points until I finally bent my knee and acknowledged Him as my Lord and Savior. So that's just a case study, and it's worthwhile considering. I'm not bragging all these touch points. I just want you to consider, what does it take to become a Christian? Have you heard of Naomi Reed? Naomi Reed is a prolific author. She has been a missionary to Nepal as a physiotherapist. And when she came back, she started writing. And she's done some beautiful literature. One of which is a study of 300 conversion stories in Australia. She did that for the Eternity magazine. And if you want to listen to Naomi Reed, sign up for Urban Mission Camp. She's one of our keynote speakers. And I love those stories because every story is like the missionary stories. They're all unique. They're so different. But they all come to the same point of acknowledging Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, putting their faith in Him. So all these gospel touch points in my life, they were God-inspired. They were all contributing to me being born again. And that born again is also a mystery. Not with a physical birth, but by a birth that comes from God. We read that in John 1, 12 and 13. Yet to all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. Because, friends, the fact that you're a follower of Christ is due to a supernatural intervention of God in your life to bring you in His kindness to the place of repentance. And it's not due to my parents. My parents, they prayed. They acknowledged their inability to make me a Christian. They prayed and committed me faithfully to the Lord. But when God intervened, it was God's intervention that turned my life around and transformed me from inside out. So being born again is a supernatural act of God. We learned it also from the Gospel of John. In John chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, we read, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit." To spirit. And, you know, the Apostle Paul, before he was Paul, he was Saul. And that was one of those supernatural interventions where God appeared to him on his way to Damascus and revealed himself to him. "Who are you?" he asked. "I am Jesus whom you persecute." When he writes in Galatians about his own salvation, he makes sure that no one gets any credit in that fact. And this is what he says, first Galatians 1:15. "But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb, called me by His grace, was pleased to reveal His Son in me so that I might preach Him among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. Although he could have, but clearly the conversion of Paul wasn't anyone's doing. It was God revealing Himself to him. So I'm making a case to you today that there is no new life unless God creates new life. Would you agree with me there, or do we have a disagreement? So if we have a disagreement, we speak up, yeah? We can argue about that. But I would like to propose to you that there is no salvation, there is no way to a transformed life in Christ, a part of Jesus Christ's intervention, supernatural intervention in our life. And you know, that fact puts our mission effort into a different light. Question, if salvation is God's thing, where does that leave us with our effort to evangelize, witness, you know, witness to be, share about Jesus? Why are we doing mission? Why are we doing outreach? Are we off the hook? Here's the question. Are we off the hook? If God can reveal himself to Paul and to Farid in dreams and in visions, why can't we just relax? Live a good suburban life. And not be constantly stressing that we should do more for God. What do you think? Is that a fair question? Well, yes and no. Because Saint Paul tells us that God has given us the task of reconciliation. We read it in 2 Corinthians 5. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And he entrusts us with this wonderful message of the gospel, the message of reconciliation. We are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead with others, be reconciled to God. So there is a role for us to play. God can do it himself, but he wouldn't do it without us. Because God didn't just save us so we can go to heaven. He gave us his Holy Spirit. The power from on high to be his witnesses when he planted us. Does that make sense? That's where Acts chapter 1, those few verses, and Acts chapter 2 come in. It is God who gives us the Holy Spirit who enables us to do his work. Because this is off. Oh, I'm sorry, you just hear nothing and then... Okay, let me scroll back now. I do apologize for that. Did you hear? Are we still together where we are at? Do you remember what I said last?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. I don't. So here's the thing: the eternal living God chooses to entrust us with his gospel. God chooses men and women who were cleansed from their sins to deliver this precious cargo, his message. This is quite amazing. How were those thousands of gospel touch points delivered in my life? And I alluded to that. My mom and dad, all my family, my relatives, my church, the Sunday school leaders, the kids club leaders, the youth group leaders. How was the gospel delivered in my life? Through his people. Through all these gospel touch points. The one thing every gospel touch point had is one believer who stood behind it. And that's why you and I, we have a role to play. God's word endures forever and is incorruptible. We have been born again, not of perishable seeds, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God. That word is the good news that is being preached by all of us, given the Great Commission. Did you hear that? Commission. It's not just John 28, the Great Commission. The whole scripture from beginning to the end speaks of a Great Commission that reaches the whole world. Even when the gospel was, when the laws were revealed to Moses, it were meant to be a blessing to the whole world. When Abraham was called, his promise was that your offspring will be a blessing, what? Just to your tribe? No, to the ends of the earth. And your offspring will be as as the stars in the sky. So we carry this incorruptible message, creating gospel touch points at every opportunity. And Paul goes even further, describes it, we should become all things to all people so that some might find faith in Christ. to the weak, I became weak, he says, to win the weak. I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. So praise God for all the gospel touch points in our life. Only eternity will reveal how each one wove together a tapestry that made sense until the gospel finally made sense to us. The outcome of our testimony is in the Lord's hands. Would you agree with me there? Have you ever tried to argue somebody into acknowledging Christ as Lord and Savior? Did you ever win the argument? It doesn't work that way. You can argue your face blue and you can stand upside down. You won't convert someone just by words and by arguments and by being right and winning the argument. It won't happen that way unless the Holy Spirit intervenes and uses your words in grace and truth and transforms from inside out through the work of the Holy Spirit. We run in vain. We work in vain. Unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain. So in our hand is the opportunity to create gospel touch points, and herein lies a truth that just takes the whole burden off us. We read earlier in the book of Acts that Jesus promised us the Holy Spirit to come upon us. And the early apostles really started kicking into action once the Holy Spirit came in Acts chapter 2. All of a sudden, Peter, who had foot and mouth disease, all of a sudden he becomes an effective evangelist. And that makes no sense, because his whole history was he was always outspoken and wrong. In every single case when he spoke, he was wrong. All of a sudden, Acts 2, he stands up, and how many people convert? 3,000. 3,000 converts. He would be praised in all of our Christian literature and Facebook. Oh, what a wonderful evangelist he'd be. But it was very obvious it wasn't of Peter. It was what? The Holy Spirit had come upon them and had empowered them with a power that is just, you can't argue with the authority of God. So when we create gospel touch points in the strength and in the authority of the Holy Spirit, what will happen? What do you think? Lives get transformed. I like to leave you with a simple motivational slogan. Yeah. You can read it as you want. But as followers of Christ, we want to see Christ exalted and consequently life transformed. Would you agree with that statement? Is that our purpose? We want to see Christ exalted and lives transformed. And that usually takes shape when we die to ourselves. So as servants of Christ, we die to ourselves. And Christ is exalted in our life. Paul describes it this way. God gives him the comfort that my strength is made perfect when you're weak. And Paul goes on, therefore I will glory in my weakness so that the power of God may be manifest in me. Friends, do we grasp that? Do we grasp that freedom? That even when we crack, when we barely hang on, God is at work in us. His Holy Spirit is His guaranteed salvation in our life. The guarantee of His salvation in our life. And we can, through the ups and downs of life, sometimes we're effective, most of the time not so effective. Sometimes we're really on top of our game, most of the time not. Maybe you're different, I'm not. But through it all, the indwelling Holy Spirit is Christ's guarantee of my salvation, and nothing can change that. Because of the indwelling Christ, we can step out and be gospel touch points with boldness. And our weakness is nothing to be ashamed for, because He uses our weakness to demonstrate His power. Well, it's clear from our Bible reading in the book of Acts that a part of the Holy Spirit, we're not very much used in the kingdom of heaven. more like a clanging dong or cymbal that makes white noise. You can be, that's what I can do in my own strength, but not very effectively. So what I'm presenting to you today is not a new concept. It's really an illustration of what Jesus describes himself in the parable of the farming sower. The farmer sowing the seed. You know, you got to forgive me, I'm speaking English with, it's a second language, or fourth, or fifth. We read in Matthew 13 that he told them about many things in parables, and one of them was the farmer went out to sow the seed, and the seed was scattered in different places, in good soil, in bad soil, on the road, on the rocks, and there's different responses. The farmer's job was what? To scatter the seed. Is the farmer in control of the weather? Is the farmer in control of where the rocks are and where they're not? Well, yeah, he could plow, he could prepare the soil, but so many things are out of our control. We have in the West the illusion that we are in control of our destiny. And I remember what happened 5 years ago. How much control did you have? None. We had no control. We are not in control of our destiny. There are so many things that the Lord holds in the balance. But we can do what? Like the farmer, sow the seed. Be that gospel touch point. So where it falls on good soil, the seed produces crop. Some 100, 60, and 30 times. And Jesus says, whoever has ears, let them hear. So my encouragement today to you is to embrace the idea of gospel touch points. It's an illustration. And we have explained to you the thinking behind the gospel touch points. By the way, it is a term that I'm borrowing from marketing. So you call off product touch points or message touch points. You can measure product touch points in marketing that lead to certain outcomes, which is quite an intriguing consideration. But I love the idea of our 300 missionaries, adults, and their 200 dependents being gospel touch points that we can pray for, that we can lift up before the throne of grace. So one thing we can do, even if we're not up front or out in the public square and presenting gospel touch points in Federation Square, even when we don't do those public events, we can cultivate a culture of intentional, faithful, prayerful intercession. So with this in mind, that everything we do is a gospel touch point, whether it's for my children, my wife, my workplace, my grannies, my everyone, it's a gospel touch point. It just brings us to our knees. And I'd like you to embrace that not as a place of weakness, as a place where Christ reveals himself when we are weak. So I'd like we can intentionally engage with all generations by embracing missional living. We can do things that are within our power. If you're a great cook, never stop cooking. If you're a great gardener, never stop gardening, because your garden is a testimony to who you serve. And if you're an outstanding businessman, never stop doing outstanding business. You have more outreach than many people have. So I would like to counter the idea that missionaries somehow are superhumans and the rest of us are not. That's not true. They're just simple human beings that are creating gospel touch points in the Lord's strength. And friends, whether you are a missionary in Timbuktu or a good dad in Melbourne, those are gospel touch points. And they're valuable, they're important. So pray. this is something we can do in our own chamber without much publicity. We can pray. Pray for those who create gospel touch points. And I covered your prayer for made for this, for the urban mission camp. We pray for that. Because there's so much we don't know, and this is my biggest concern when I meet with my team is, guys, what am I not seeing? Where's my blind spot? And friends, you can pray for us that those blind spots would be revealed, that we would indeed have favor with the city council, and we can be bold gospel touch points in the city of Melbourne in April. And lastly, we can collaborate to support your local and global mission effort. And AMT is there to amplify what you're doing locally. We have a global reach, global impact, but we're also working locally. So do not hesitate to reach out. This is a vision we have. How can we collaborate together? One of your people you're praying for is Simon Chisimba Mubanga in Zambia. Well, we are working to support him with the help of God. We have allocated a monthly stipend for Simon from AMT because your church, your elder said, yeah, we want to affirm our fellowship with his brother in Zambia. What a privilege it is to walk your journey together. How are we going for time? Done?
Half an hour left.
So I'll just close up with some impact stories, some testimonies from the mission field. Because our mission field is so big, so global, I'm going to take you around the world a couple of times, okay? Here, first story is a small church in Georgia. You know where Georgia is? If you know your world map, where are we? Quickly, give me an orientation. Georgia, not a state in the U.S., Georgia, the country. Yeah, north of Turkey, in that spot. Black Sea, you know the Black Sea? On the east end of Black Sea. That region has got lots of tribal groups that are there. The Russians, Turks, the Georgians, Turkmens, Armenians. And they were never friends. And they haven't been friends for thousands of years. Okay? Now, Russians, Turks, Georgians, Turkmens, Armenians, and Azerbaijanis are now working together in the same church, being a gospel touch point in that community. I don't know, my heart jumps for joy. So those people would never, tribal groups, they would never sit in the same restaurant, let alone serve somebody of the other group. But they come together in the church because Christ has built a bridge that reconciled thousands of years of injury, of hurts, and of offense. And there you go. Our Aussie missionary has got the front row seat to witness God's power at work in a way that doesn't make sense. But God is still the one who calls and convicts and makes people his own. And he's making his own people from each one of these tribal groups, and he forms one people under Christ. Central Asia, so we go a little bit further east. Country that ends in Bhutan. Can't tell you exactly where it is because of the sensitive nature, but it's one of the countries that ends in Bhutan. Entire communities and families find faith in Jesus because an Aussie missionary dedicated her life to translating the Bible into their language. And not like she's a upfront preacher, no, but she has faithfully translated the Bible into that language. The Bible is now available and word of mouth, and from hand to hand, the Bible gets passed on. And they're not coming to faith individually, but whole family groups and communities. How encouraging is that? Rwanda, do you know where Rwanda is? Who was around 1994? Do you know what happened in Rwanda 1994? A massive genocide where Hutus and Tutsis started slaughtering each other like they hadn't known each other for the last 200 years. And today the government recognizes the power of the gospel as God reconciles Hutus and Tutsis and makes them one in Christ. So the church can be a beacon in that reconciliation process. And we are, our project team is walking the journey in with friends in Rwanda. And that's just a wonderful testimony. Okay, lastly, Indonesia, you know, our closest neighbor to the north, right after Papua New Guinea. Some Aussie missionaries, medical missionaries, were asked to abort unwanted babies. Instead, they said, "Now every child you don't want, we adopt." So they adopted every one of the 15 over the last 20 years. I recently had the opportunity to meet some of these children, now accomplished young adults, disciples of the Lord Jesus, preparing to embrace their own pathway to missional living. Remember, they were going to be discarded. How powerful is God's gospel? How wonderful is the Lord Jesus calling to himself, raising a workforce for even from the unwanted ones, from the ends of the earth, people that should never be reconciled, should never work together. It shouldn't work. But in any of the human terms, the church shouldn't work. Somehow it works, and the Lord is building his church with strength and authority, and the gates of hell will never, ever prevail against it. And I'd like to leave you with that encouragement. Let's create gospel touch points. That's what we can do. We can strategize. We can come up with ideas and plans in the strength provided that God provides us through the Holy Spirit. And let's be united in this one effort to create gospel touch points. Because you don't know how many it'll take for a person to see the light of Christ. That's our job. That's our calling. And if the Lord moves you to one of the Stan countries, praise the Lord. And if the Lord keeps you in the Monty neighborhood, also praise the Lord. We're all doing the same thing. We're creating gospel touch points. And Christ manifests himself, the life-transforming gospel through people like you and me. What an honor and privilege. Thank you very much for listening today. May the Lord bless you. Let's pray. Our gracious God, Almighty Father, we humbly draw to your throne of grace and thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the Lord Jesus who was revealed to us at the right time so we could have a grasp of the full depth of the love that you have shown in him. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you've also given us the Holy Spirit, the Comforter and the Counselor. Lord, that we would move in your strength and not in our own. Lord, we acknowledge our weakness in so many ways. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you continue to work your glory and exalt the Lord Jesus in our life. Lord, help us to recognize that and embrace our role as your gospel touch points, as your ambassadors where you placed us. Lord, we pray for the children in this church. We pray that you shower them with love and gospel touch points through this community, through their parents, Lord, that they will take a hold of the Lord Jesus as early as possible. Lord, we pray for the church here at Monty. Pray for their missionaries. Pray for Simon. Pray for the other missionaries they're supporting. Oh, I'm so sorry. What's your first name, sister? I wanted to call you Michelle Pfeiffer. Elizabeth. I knew Michelle was wrong. Oh, Lord, I pray that you continue to strengthen Elizabeth as she is preparing for her next season in mission. Thank you for this time of rest and recovery. Lord, I pray that you open the path for her to return to the field. Lord, we thank you that you're at work, Lord, and nothing will stand in your way. Thank you that you're building your church with power and authority, and we thank you that your glory will be firmly established. So, Lord, we pray that you continue to exalt Christ in our life, and may our lives and those we touch be transformed in your strength, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.